This is kind of booting up here. I was thinking of, a lot of jokes that were given about the time restraints and how much time and everything. I was thinking, time's a relative. If you're having fun, time goes fast. If you're not having fun, time's slow. So this will just seem like 5 minutes. And also, I like to think about a few things. And one of the things I was thinking about while Abe was giving his lesson, he did in two parts about things that were wrong, the things that were right, and he had a black background. Mine's all things that are good, and it's got a white background. So, I was thinking of what is change? Because it's a very simple word, and I like to keep things very simple. So, these are just some definitions. I know Abe and Roger like to go back and forth between dictionaries and everything. This is just a couple of different definitions from several different dictionaries. And I forget which ones they are, so I don't have them quoted. But they become altered or modified to transform or convert it. That seems to work well in a religious sense. To pass gradually into. And this would be used by spring turns into summer and summer turns into fall. It's a gradual change. And also to change or an exchange. And the one that I think is the most simple and the best is to become different. Change is to become different. When I think of different, I think of peculiar. And then you also think of the passage in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises from him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." So I was thinking even there, Christians are changed. They're a different, peculiar people. They're different. So, when I think of change, I try to think of what some changes that we consider, or how would we define change? I think of, you get a house. You have a lot of changes. And even when you have a house, you have a lot of changes. I'm still sore from the work that me and Abe did. That when you have a house, there's changes you have to make to adapt to that. Marriage. Abe mentioned marriage this morning. I'm not going to say anything else. Job. A change of job. I recently just had a change of job. That's something that your life is based on, most of, because that's how you make money, support your family and everything. And a pet. Go through a lot of changes to have a pet. Having a baby, starting a family. It's another changes that have happened here. And I was starting to think I probably should have said start a family, then have a baby, but I was thinking about that too much. Here's a change I don't see too often. Losing weight. Then more of the change that I see is the gaining weight. And also, you have a change of taste. Now, this is maybe a like of foods. Or a like of colors. And then a change of mind. Likes or dislikes. Attitude. People change their attitude. Or people tell other people to change their attitude. Friends. One for us, church location, as we're looking at building a new church, that's going to be a big change for us. And also, learning new things is a change. And becoming a Christian could be a major change. So, those are life changes. Then I was also trying to think, okay, well, what's some changes in the Bible? So I was thinking, Jesus changed from being in God in heaven to living here on earth. And the apostles and disciples had to make major changes. The Pharisees needed to make major changes. The Gentiles, at the same time, needed to make major changes. The prodigal son realized he needed to make a change and return home. This is part of the parables that Abe's teach on Sunday mornings. And Peter changed his name. He didn't change his name. Jesus changed his name. Rulers. We see several changes of rulers through the Bible, from Old Testament through the New Testament. And those were my list of changes, changes in life, changes with us, then changes in the Bible. So then I started thinking, okay, so what's some changes that are guaranteed never to change? And that's kind of hard when you think about it. And I only came up with one. God, His Word, and His love for us. I can't think of anything else that doesn't change. And I was thinking of constants. Like mathematical constants, like E equals MC squared, but not anymore. It doesn't equal that anymore. Some people may like some science stuff. There are some recent discoveries about the Hadron Collider. There's particles that go faster than the speed of light. So E doesn't equal mc squared. It's no longer a constant. So that changed. I think of metals. They change, they rust, they break, they fall away. So everything changes, except God's word and His love for us. So I'm going to focus on three things today to deal with change, and one is a change of job. This is something that I just recently had. I worked for a company for about 6 or 7 years, and I have a total change of job where I'm kind of doing something related to what I was doing, but in a way, it's nothing like it. And we have the same biblical people that had changes in their jobs and had a little bit of the same title. And if you will, turn with me to Matthew 4, 18 through 22. And we're going to look at these verses and then we're going to kind of break them down a little bit. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea. For they were fishermen, so we have their occupation. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So we have a little bit of a change of job, kind of the same title, almost the same thing. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and a boat with Zebedee, their father, casting their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. So Jesus was walking by, seeing these people. They were doing their job. These were their professions. And from those short verses we read, we've seen what they did in their professions. They were fishermen. And it said they were mending their nets. So that's one of the things they knew how to do in their job, was to mend nets. And I have a picture of, this is actually a National Geographic picture of a person by the side of the Sea of Galilee mending their nets. And I was thinking of, that probably takes a lot of talent to mend a net. I have no idea how to mend a net. Sometimes I go fishing, mine gets all tangled up and it looks like a net, but it doesn't help me catch many fish. But they knew how to do this, because if they didn't mend their nets, they'd have holes in their nets and the fish would get through. Also, they were in their boats. So I have a picture of a boat, yet again, by the Sea of Galilee, and this is possibly the type of boat that they would have been using. So they knew how to use their boats in their jobs. They knew how to cast the sails, to sail out to the ocean, to fish, actually into the sea. So that's something to think of. They knew what their jobs were, and they knew how to do it. We don't know how good they were at their jobs, but that's what they did for a living. But as Jesus walked by, he said for them to follow them. They left their jobs, and they started a new profession. But to learn their new profession, this is just starting in 23, where we left off, they had to learn what to do in their profession. So Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. So we knew what their job was. They knew how to do it. Well, now they had new jobs, and they had to learn how to do that. So now, I changed the title up here from fishermen to fishers of men. Their title changed. They have a new job now. But it's slightly similar to the job they had before. To go along with that, they had to learn what to do. And then they were basically given a job description. So this is from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. They were fishermen. They had to learn this new job, and now they were given what I consider a job description. I don't only have these texted read because they're the words of Jesus, but this is the part that I would consider their job description. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me into heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So now we see their jobs as fishermen. They had to learn their new occupation. And now they have to go carry out their job. They changed through this entire course of creating this new job. And also, We see in Acts where not only did they learn their new job, and then they had their job description, but then they had to go out and perform their job. And this is just one of the instances that I'm using here in Acts. This is Acts 2, 29 through 35. This is when they're actually going to be using what Jesus told them to do. And it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he both died and buried, and in the tomb with us that day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him that the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and that his soul was not laid in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which you are witness. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool.' Therefore, let all the houses of Israel know assuredly that God made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise to you that you and to you and your children and all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved for this perverse generation." These also who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayers. I know that was kind of a lengthy reading, but I kind of wanted to put it in the context of what they were doing. Jesus told them to go out and perform this job. They had a change of occupation, and what they did is they went out and performed their job. Jesus gave them instructions on what to do, and then they went out and they performed it. So I would consider that they were very good at their job. They had a change of occupation. And that's what we kind of use from that change right there. Then to go into our other changes, we have a change of belief. Now, a change of belief is normally gathered by a new change of learning new things. And I kind of put together a few things to see what maybe we believe of things. So, I love sushi, and I know a lot of people probably don't, but a lot of people say, "Oh, well, that's just raw fish. Sushi means raw fish." Well, actually, the name sushi means sour rice and refers to vinegar rice used in it, and not all sushi has raw fish. So now your belief of sushi has changed. So that's kind of what I was meaning by a change of belief. Now, I actually added a few other things in here. These are pretty fun. Nero didn't fiddle during the Great Fire of Rome. Fiddles weren't invented yet. Violins weren't. Vikings had no horns on their helmet. It's just another common belief that people have. I thought this was real interesting. There is no evidence to supporting that Vikings had helmets. The images of Vikings wearing horns on their helmets were from a sonography of an 1876 production. I think that's interesting. Some people had made pictures or were making an older style film of Vikings. Well, they just put horns on their helmet to make them look more scary, I guess. And that's where we get the Vikings. And also, along with that, I was reading about the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims would have wore a lot of different colors other than just black. And they probably wouldn't have had the buckles and the top hats, kind of like what we see in Thanksgiving pictures. George Washington had wooden teeth. I hear that one a lot. Actually, I've seen George Washington's teeth. They're actually in the Smithsonian. And he said he had four different sets of dentures. He had gold, hippopotamus, ivory, lead. I'm pretty sure that didn't work out very well for him. Human and animal teeth. So that's what his dentures were made out. He actually never had a pair of wooden dentures. And also, a lot of people say Napoleon was short. Actually, Napoleon would have been slightly taller than an average Frenchman of that size. It's a misconception because Napoleon was 5'2" in French measurements, which changed in the 19th century. So he would have been about 5'7"-ish, which would have been taller than a regular Frenchman at that time. Swallowing chewing gum takes 7 years to digest. It's another belief that we have, but actually chewing gum is mostly indigestible. It passes through the digestive system at the same rate as other matter you swallow, whether it be food or not. But now your belief of that has changed. This is my favorite. The signing of the Declaration of Independence was on July 4th, 1776. And my parents have actually taken me there, seen everything where this was signed. The final language of the document was approved on the second conditional Congress at that date. So July 4th is when they approved the verbiage and passed it out, but it actually wasn't signed until August 2nd. So, yeah, a lot of people are probably, what? Huh, that's interesting. Yep. So think of that next July 4th to celebrate that holiday and you have work off. That's just when it was approved and passed out. These are actually from Time Magazine's most people's change of belief on certain principles and ideas that they heard. So when we put that into a biblical perspective, we think of a change of belief. And I have a person that comes to mind when I think of the changes that this person went through. And there were some pretty critical changes. I think of Saul, of course. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. I'm just starting here in Acts 8, 1 through 3. In Acts 7 is where they stoned Stephen. So this is the verses after. So from this verse where it says that he was consenting to his death, he was consenting to Stephen's death. At the time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc on the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So this is who Saul was. Saul, he was there when Stephen was stoned, and also in Acts 22 and 20, it says, and this is him saying himself, and when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. So you have Saul that was standing there guarding the clothes of the people throwing the stones at Stephen. So you can just think of how this person was. He persecuted the church. He made havoc. You know, that's an interesting word, havoc. It's just, when I think of havoc, I think of no direction, just trying to tear down everything and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. That's who this person was. And they believed that they were doing right. Saul believed that this is what he needed to do. He had a little bit of change of belief, though. And starting in Acts 9, we'll read Acts 9, 1 through 19. And it's kind of a lengthy reading too, but I kind of want to put it in perspective of what we're discussing. And Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and letters from the synagogue of Damascus, so that when he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he brought them to bond to Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around the heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then he said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and not seeing anyone. And Saul arose from the ground, and his eyes were open. He saw no one. But they laid him by the hands and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Now when a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting a hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man." And I kind of underlined "this man" because people have heard of him. They knew who he was. "How much harm he hath done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call your name." So Saul had the rights to go out and try to pull people into prison. But the Lord said to him, "Go for the chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles." I was speaking before about the Gentiles that needed to change. So I just kind of underlined that. "Kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you come, has sent me that you may receive your sight fulfilled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell something from his eyes, something like scales. And he received his sight at once and arose and was baptized. And so he received food and was strengthened when Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So we see a complete change in Saul. We see also another change that I just thought of. He was blinded, but then he was received his sight again. So he went even through another change. So, of course, Saul had a change of belief. He thought he was doing what's right, but then he was told what he needed to change to do. So here in Romans 1:1-6 says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ." Now it's Paul saying he's a bondservant, who's Saul, who's now Paul, is a bondservant of Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Lord, who was first born of the seed of David concerning the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God and the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and authorship and obedience to the faith among nations of his name. Among you are also called of Jesus Christ. Now there in Acts, that's just kind of the greeting that they use in letters, or actually Romans, because this was the letter to the Romans. So this was the greeting that he used to the church. So I kind of broke it into two parts so we can kind of see his change. So we've seen him known as Saul. Now, I was researching a few things last night, and I think Saul may have been from the tribe of Benjamin, and we think of King Saul, so it made me think of maybe that's where he got his name. And he was there when Stephen was stoned. He persecuted the church, made havoc, dragged off men and women, committing them to prison. So that's what he thought was doing, what he was doing was right. That was his belief. And now we see him as Paul. In the change of name, I read a few things about the change of name, and some people say that one was a Roman name and one was a Hebrew name. I'm not exactly sure, so I'm not going to tread in that water. But now we've seen him as Saul, and now we know him as Paul. And I think of what he says there in Romans 1. He's a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart from the gospel of God. And I think of his missionary journeys. So we see somebody that this is what they believe. They believe that killing Christians was what they needed to do. And now we see him go through this change of belief, that now he knows what he needs to do. And I think of the people that have even heard of his name, they probably couldn't believe that this person has changed. I think of somebody that would even go and have laws written so they could pull people out of their homes. How much that person's changed. He made a name for himself, and he has changed from what he is. So I think back to the beginning when I was talking about constants of things that don't change. And we know that God does not change. So I just have a few verses to look at here. I look at James in 1:17. It says, "Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So some say variation, some say no change. Also in Romans 6:22-23, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have the fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have this gift that's not going to change. And Peter, 2 Peter 1:1-4, it talks about Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle to Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you into the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He has divine power and given to us all things that pertain to life and goodliness through the knowledge of God, Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that these things may be partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. So we see this thing that's not going to change. And also in John 3:16-22, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to be condemned, to condemn the world, that the world through Him may be saved. Who believes in Him and is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commandment, that the light has gone into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because of their deeds were evil. For everyone participating in evil hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. After these things, Jesus and His disciples came into the land of Judea, and there He remained with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Ammon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not been thrown into prison. So these are things to think about. We see this thing that we're given. We've seen that God sent His only Son to die for the remission of our sins. So we see this thing that does not change, that He loved us, that He sent His Son. And also, just to put it in context with the flow, we see that they were told to baptize, and John was baptizing. So we put that in perspective as we kind of wrap up change today. You know, to become altered or modified, to become a Christian, is the change that we're seeking to help people. Even if it's just to become a better Christian. To become transformed or converted. I think of converted a lot of times because you think of people who are converted. You know, maybe people didn't believe in God or believe in Christ and they were converted. There was that conversion, that change. And like I said, to become different. In baptism, it talks about becoming a new man, putting away the old man and the new man. And I think of that becoming different. And I was thinking of this quote, and sometimes I think you have to change who you are to become who you want to be. So if you think of who you are, let's say if you're aggravated or grouchy or mean, and you're like, I don't want to be that person. You have to change to become who you want to be. And I was also thinking in James 4:14, it talks about life is just a vapor. I would say, if we don't change now, then it's too late. We think, we may have so many years here on this earth, but in comparison, it's not much. It's just a vapor. So that's why I was thinking, sometimes you have to change. Even if it's a hard change, you have to change who you are to become who you want to be. And I hope every day that everybody wants to become a Christian. That's why now I'd like to extend the invitation. Through these changes, we've seen what we needed to do. The apostles were given instructions when they changed their job. They were told what their job was supposed to be, and it was supposed to preach the gospel to the world and baptize. We also see that Paul and Saul was changed, and he was also baptized. We see these changes that we need to make. So I'd like to extend the invitation this morning. As we think about these changes we might need to perform, and if you need to make a change, please come forward as we stand and sing number 712.